Calling this meeting to order. Are we ready to rock and roll? Yes, we are. Wearing the leather jacket, we're ready to go. It's going to be a good night. I have a feeling. I could be wrong, but no, it was going to be a good night. Welcome, everyone. Good things happening. We're going to start with our Pledge of Allegiance, and we have a voluntold that's been... I love this part. And the voluntold is one of our finest, Officer Montes. Yes, let's give him a round of applause. It's beautiful. Look at that, one of our team's leaders right here. Look at that. Thank you, sir.
Hello, everyone. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Told you he was perfect for the job. I'll tell you later who nominated you. Need a Section D, adoption of the agenda. Looking for a motion?
I move.
I need a second.
Second. A second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Here comes the good part. Section E, oath of office for our re-elected trustees. We have, technically it's the oath of office for both appointments in lieu of election. Because you know what? No one wanted to run against these ladies. That's right. That's right. They said, no, thank you. They're doing a great job. All right, so up first we have Trustee Sarah S. Galvez and Ms. Adelaide H. Casares. Would you please join us at the podium? Give them a round of applause, please.
I just want to say what an honor it's been to help you out here, and I've known you since elementary through all the way now to today, and it's really been a pleasure. Yeah, an honor. Right.
Right.
Okay.
State your name.
I, Sarah Galvez.
I, Adley. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
I will swear, I will bear truth, faith, and allegiance.
I will bear truth, faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution.
To the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And to the Constitution. Constitution of the State of California.
And to the Constitution of the State of California.
That I will take this obligation freely.
And that I will take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservations.
Without any mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Well, faithfully discharge.
And that I will well, faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties on which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Over here, Mom. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And I'm going to have you hold these together.
Okay.
And you'll look at the camera. They'll take a couple pictures for you. You're looking at Ryan. One more big round of applause.
Congratulations, Trustee Galvez. Now, we can have Trustee Flora Martinez, and from the wonderful city of Montclair, we have Mayor Pro Tem, Mrs. Carissa Martinez. Will you please join us at the podium?
It's such an honor that you've asked me, and for the record, there's no relation that we know of.
but we think alike.
We do. But honestly, truly, this is an honor to be here today, and of all the people that you could have had here today, I'm very, very thankful that you've reached out to ask me, and I am looking forward to the next at least 2 years while I'm on this, you know, city council. I'm working together for Montclair, so please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Flora Martinez.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties that I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again.
And then.
Yes.
One more time, congratulations.
Congratulations to both of our trustees, and thank you to both of our beautiful guests. Thank you. Okay, moving forward. Section F, our 2025 annual organizational election of the Board of Trustees, including election of president, vice president, clerk, representative for the county committee, and alternate representative for the county committee. F1, election of the 2025 board president. Seeking nomination.
I nominate Elvia Rivas.
I second.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it, and I love working with you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you. Moving on to the election of the 2025 Vice President, I nominate Sonia Alvarado.
I second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried.
Thank you.
Moving on for the election of the 2025 clerk, I nominate Chris Brake.
I second.
I second.
Sarah seconds. She seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Congratulations.
Thank you, ladies.
Moving on to four, election of the 2025 County Committee on School District Organization. Seeking nomination.
I nominate Flora Martinez.
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to five, election of the 2025 alternate to County Committee on School District Organization. Seeking nomination.
I nominate Sarah Galvez.
Seeking a second.
I second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Congratulations, Ms. Sarah. Okay. All done. Congratulations, everybody. Moving on to Section G, recognitions and presentations. G1, 2024-2025, first interim financial report as presented by our very own Phil Hillman, Chief Business Official, and the mighty Vanessa Eastland.
Thank you, Madam President. And if Ms. Eastland could step up, our Chief Financial Officer.
She just got a bump in title.
Yeah. Thank you again, Madam President, and good evening, trustees, Dr. Hammond, Cabinet, and guests in the audience. First of all, I want to say happy holidays to everyone. I hope you have a great time with your family and enjoy your time off. Tonight, we'll be looking at the first interim report. And the first interim report is really the first look that we get at our financial statements for this fiscal year, this school year. Later in the agenda, you will actually consider approval of the actual first interim report, but this gives you highlights of that report. So a little bit of background. Like I said, this is the first full financial look that you get at the financial statements for this year. It requires us to look into our crystal ball a little bit because we have to project what our ending balance will be this year and the subsequent 2 years. So we have to look at, do a three-year, multi-year projection that says, here's what we think the district will look like financially in the next 3 years. This report does get filed with the County Office of Education and with the California Department of Education as part of our normal reporting process. So this is the budget timeline that we're working off of, and you can see the orange square in the middle is where we are now. If you go to the left, we adopted a budget back in June. We work our way all the way through. The next time we'll come to you with a formal financial statement is in March, and then we'll end the year with estimated actuals. Technically, we actually report after that when we adopt our next budget. So we'll have estimated actuals, then unaudited actuals after that as well. What is the board's responsibility tonight? Basically, if approved, the report certifies that we will have a positive certification, meaning we expect to meet our obligations in the current year and each of the next 2 years as well, meaning we'll be fiscally solvent, and we project to do so in each of the 3 years. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Vanessa. She's going to go through the next several slides, and then it'll get kicked back to me.
All right, perfect. Thank you. So before we dive into the data, we first want to thank the budget team. They really, their hard work and dedication is what we're presenting tonight. So we definitely want to thank them. And then, so let's look at the highlights, starting with the revenue highlights that are in our first interim reporting. COLA remains the same at 1.07% with the change in declining enrollment, which is about a 7.4 net net decrease in revenue year over year. Now that we have actual 24-25 enrollment numbers, our budget has been updated at first interim to take into account our enrollment for the 24-25 year. And the funded ADA is based off of, even though our enrollment year over year has declined about 200, the funded or the first interim funded ADA is based off of a three-year rolling average. So that's what's reflected on the slide. So LCFF is our largest funding source, and it's really driven by student enrollment and average daily attendance along with our unduplicated pupil. And funded ADA is based off of the average of the prior 3 years. And as you can see, starting in 25-26, the funded ADA is starting to decrease because now the decline over the last few years is starting to level out. So we're starting to see that in the 25-26 year. And one question mark that we have for COLA is the 25-26 year, and we'll get into more of that information on a subsequent slide on where that is projected. But for first interim purposes, we are using the LAO established rate at 2.46%. And just a little history on the COLA that we're using for 24-25. As you can see, where we started at 3.54% to where we are now at 1.07%, COLA has fluctuated over the years. And what this means for us is it has a direct impact over our multi-year, over the last few years, because we project the most current assumptions in our budget. So the varying changes makes the projections sometimes a little harder to project because they do fluctuate year over year. But where we stand now at the 24-25 year is the approved 1.07% COLA. So a few other revenue highlights before we move on to the expenditures is the biggest things that we look at in our first interim is, are there any new ongoing or one-time funding sources that we need to factor in? And we do not have any new, substantially new one-time or ongoing funding sources in our current budget or our subsequent budgets. And we also look to see if there's any revenue adjustments that we need to make or if there's any one-time dollars that have fully been spent. And so we'll be able to see that when we get to our multi-year, as some of the one-time funding sources are now starting to sunset. And this slide represents the restricted programs that are set, that have a spending deadline. And there are several programs that expired on the September 30th, 2024, the biggest one being our ESSER III, which we have fully spent by the deadline. And the next few restricted funding sources that we have that have due dates coming up are listed on the presentation, and we are anticipating that the remaining grants will be spent on or before the spending deadlines. And these are based off of established multi-year plans. When monitoring enrollment, we monitor enrollment closely because that has a direct impact to our revenue sources. And the biggest thing is, as new enrollment assumptions come in or attendance assumptions come in, we do update our multi-years based off of that information. And naturally, when we experience a decline year over year, we would reduce our expenses to account for that decline. However, it's difficult to reduce operating costs at the same pace as declining enrollment based on just the nature of how our educational programs are established. But that is something that we do monitor in our budget. And this is just a snapshot, a visual of where our enrollment has a historical and a future snapshot of our enrollment. And as you can see, the enrollment is starting to level off, and in the future years, we're actually projecting a slight increase. So that's something that we're definitely keeping a close eye on. Okay, so that was a brief update on the revenue side, but now let's turn our attention to the expense side. And the biggest changes or the biggest adjustments that we make in our interim reportings are any changes to compensation, step and column built-in costs, which is approximately 1% year over year, and any changes to our pension, PERS or STIRS, we factor that in our budget, or health and welfare. And other expenditures that we also adjust in our budget include any changes to utility costs, operating costs, or any of our technology items that we have. And we'll be able to see on the, when we look at the restricted multi-year, that which funding sources on the restricted side we're fully spending down and in the years that that we're purposely spending down the multi-year restricted revenue that we've received. Okay, so there's a lot of data on this slide. So I'll provide a brief summary on some of the key points. And so this slide represents a summary of the revenue factors in the current and the future years that we will show on the multi-year. The one major question mark is the 25-26 COLA, as well as the COLA in the out years that we can, that we'll adjust once new data is available. But any changes to COLA or our average daily attendance or enrollment have a direct impact on our LCFF funding. And also, we factor in any expenses that have a multi-year impact, such as any expenses, reductions due to declining enrollment, and also the purposeful spend down and of any of the one-time funding sources that we have that we received in the prior years. So all of that leads us to our multi-year. And this is a visual of what our current budget is as well as our subsequent budgets are. So I'll walk us through a few key elements on this slide. And this is our unrestricted multi-year. So the first being making any adjustments to, if there's any adjustments to COLA or our average funded ADA, that's now reflected in our budget, as well as any expenditures that we mentioned on the, that we discussed on the prior slides, that would have an impact in our budget. And the 25-26 and out years also include any expense adjustments that are known based off of either a declining enrollment or if there's any one-time expenses that are now moved back because or ongoing expenses that are funded with one-time programs that are now moved back into the multi-year budget. And the next thing that we take a look at is if there's any changes to COLA. We adjust that during the multi-year. And the next thing that we consider is, do we have a net decrease or a net increase? And we continue to adjust our budget as new priorities or assumptions are made available. And we also look to see if we have a positive ending fund balance in the current and the out years, net of any carryover, and we do have a positive ending fund balance. But we also have to take into account that we're required to meet the 3% minimum state reserve in the current and the two subsequent years, and that's about $13.9 million for us and for OMSD in the 24-25 year, and we meet that. And then we also have to identify any components of the ending fund balance. And on the, let's now turn our attention to the restricted side of our budgets. And this is where you're going to see the purposeful spend down of any of the one-time sources that we have built in. But the restricted budget includes, are restricted for a specific purpose. And this includes our special education, our routine restricted maintenance, our Title I ELOP programs, just to name a few, along with any one-time funding sources, such as our learning recovery or educator effectiveness. And the few things that we look at here is the multi-year spend down plans of our one-time funds are reflected here. And then we also take a look to see if our ending fund balance has either a positive net or a positive ending fund balance or a net zero. And as you can see, over the next few years, we're spending down the remaining one-time dollars. So at starting in 26-27 in the out years, our restricted programs reflect the ongoing programs that we currently have. So that was an overview of our largest operating budget, which is our general fund, but we do have other funds that that we also need to consider during our first interim. And I'll review these in clusters. And the biggest thing to look at here is, do we have a net zero or a positive ending fund balance in each of the different funding sources? Starting with our child development, which serves our preschool students, as well as our food and nutrition, which provides healthy meals to our students, both have a positive ending fund balance. Next is Fund 717, which is set aside for textbook adoptions, as well as our retiree health obligations. The next cluster is these funds represent set-asides for our retiree health obligations, our workers' comp program, as well as our property and liability program. And lastly is our construction and our technology funds. Fund 21 is for our major construction projects, along with Fund 35, which is for growth projects. 35 is our state matching funds, which can supplement our major construction projects. And Fund 40 is for all of our other facility needs and technology needs. And all of them have a positive ending fund balance. So I will stop here and turn the rest of the presentation over to Mr. Hillman, who will walk us through the future of our budgets.
Yeah, thank you, Vanessa. So I just wanted to touch on a few budget challenges coming. We spoke to them a little bit. Declining enrollment clearly has adverse pressure on our financial statements. We see that for another few years. That, combined with the lower COLAs, is a difficult environment to operate in terms of fund balance and trying to stay solvent. However, you know, we've done a good job of building up our fund balance and have some set aside, so we feel confident that we will be solvent in the coming years. But these are challenges that are coming in addition to the expiration of the one-time funds. As we talk about the COLA for next year, you know, we have to look at our crystal ball. And right now, the legislative analyst projects it at 2.46. School services has an informal calculation around 2%. So right now, we're basing our financial statements on the 2.46, but we think it's going to be somewhere in the 2% to 2.5% range. We'll find out a little bit more when the governor announces his proposed budget in January, and then by May, we'll get a finalized COLA for next year, which is our, you know, applies to our largest revenue source. So by using the same tracking system for COLA, we can see in July of 2022, we were using 3.72. The following year, 3.29. The following year, 2.93. Now we're at 2.46. So you can see a declining trend in the COLA over the past several years. We'll find out in January, May, and June what the COLA actually is. This is a slide that just shows the combining impact of a lower COLA and declining enrollment. Even though we get a 2.4% increase to our base revenues, when you take into account declining enrollment, the bottom line there, we actually get less revenue year over year because of these compounding factors. So small COLA and declining enrollment lead to a challenging revenue environment for us. And with that, we're happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Phil and Vanessa. Trustee Martinez, do you have any questions or comments?
I do have a comment. On page 20, we could go back there. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things on here is that crystal ball that you have.
Really great.
Yeah. Can you copyright that?
I do appreciate that you always give us a really good forecast of what is expected. And I've said this to you in the past, but I do appreciate you preparing us for what's ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris?
As always, thank you, Vanessa and Phil, and love the crystal ball. You're getting very creative.
Vanessa's going to be in there next time.
Just no. So. Okay.
Phil knows how to crystal ball this a lot better.
Sonia?
I think you've been on the spot so far. I know that there's a lot of building in Ontario coming soon, so I don't know if those numbers have been factored in.
They have, and both Montclair and Ontario, we do. That's part of the reason we see the uptick enrollment in the out years 5 years from now, because we are seeing more housing units come online. Unfortunately, a lot of the Ontario ones are in the Ontario Ranch area, which is Mountain View.
Oh, no.
So we won't see a lot of those come in unless we get them from interdistrict transfers. But Montclair, they do have a large, I want to say 20,000 units over a 20, 30-year period. So we do think we're going to see some kids from the Montclair area in particular, but some from Ontario as well.
And I think we have a very great programs in Ontario and Montclair that do attract a lot of the transfers into our district, so it looks good.
I talked to the CBO over there, and I said, hey, if you want to annex some of your property to us, that's fine. We'll take those kiddos.
We will, for sure.
He said no.
We'll keep working on that.
Thank you.
Sarah?
Good evening, Vanessa. Good evening, Phil. When we go to our meetings and then our teaching projects, earlier in the month we went to the California School Board, and so we're there, and we're like, and you guys are rock stars. Because they're all, because they said, you work with Phil? You work with Vanessa? And they're all like, oh my goodness. And then so them meeting us was actually them meeting you in like a rock star kind of way, which was really kind of cool.
Clearly we have them fooled.
No, so that was really nice to see that the work here at OMSD and by your teams are being seen other places and being celebrated and also being looked at and everything, because we get our information from when you guys go to the meetings and everything like that. So if we become a trusted source, then that is something that's really great for us. On slide number 6, it says the change in the funded ADA from prior years, the 749, that is us from, that's still them rolling in the COVID. That's why it's 749 and then it goes down to 459 because they're still trying to soft land us from the COVID, correct?
Correct. It's the tail end of the real dramatic decline in ADA. They did give us a 3-year average, which helped on the front end. We're seeing the back end of that mathematical calculation kind of catch up to us now. And as Vanessa mentioned, the following year is a little more normalized. They're going to be a little more consistent with our enrollment as it sits on a year-to-year basis. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
No, because we still have to do that. And then just your team and learning and teaching and everyone in how you guys are being able to budget everything with the ESSER funds and with everything that we have, just to be able to spread out those programs, because our kids are still benefiting, and that's because of everybody in this district, from our teachers and our classified to all of you, just, having that foresight. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, I echo all of my peers up here. Thank you to the budget team, like you said, Vanessa. They're really doing a great job. It's really something to see page 11, the roller coaster, where'd you start? You started at 2000, 2001. I think when I joined the team in 2010, we were at, we were around 25, weren't we?
Something.
22, okay. I think I was 25. No, I wasn't 25. I kid you. I think I was like 43 or something. But yeah, it's a little disheartening to see those numbers go down, but it's really encouraging to see how much the district has grown as far as programs that are offered and what we have to offer our teachers, our classified, our community members, the parent center, and all the wonderful programs that we have. Even though we have declining enrollment, with the strategic planning, with the monies and everything else, we really are a dynamite district. Like Sarah said, we went to CSBA, and I mean, we go into these sessions and people are, we're answering questions and people are like, wait a minute, you're doing what? And you have what? And they want to come visit. They want to come and see what we're doing and emulate what we have. And, we're happy. We're like, come and see, come and visit, come and do what we're doing, because, it's really benefiting the kids out here. So, kudos to everybody involved, to all the amazing brains that we have working for us. It's really a wonderful place to be. So thank you to everybody. Thank you for a wonderful presentation, Vanessa and Phil, and your team.
If I could piggyback on your comment real quick, this declining enrollment it's all about birth rates. And I think we've been able to stabilize this because of the programmatic things that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's what's kind of amazing about it, because the birth rates are much more dramatic than what we see here. That, and you alluded to real estate, there just hasn't been a lot of development in our boundaries. So between development and birth rates, it's amazing that we are where we are, and I think that is a tribute to the program.
Yeah, well, our older Ontarians and Montclair folk, they don't want to move. They have no reason to move. They have prime real estate, and it's a pleasant place to live, and they can't afford to go anywhere else, really. I mean, they have their homes. Why would they move? So, yeah, I think we're doing a bang-up job with what we have, and, let's keep doing it and getting better.
So Dr. Hammond?
You know, that's a good point. I would even add that the preservation of programs and services, we have made a commitment and still feel confident in the commitment that as opposed to other districts that have declined, like OMSD, which is a majority of districts in California, we're not talking about school closures, we're not changing boundaries, we're really committed to the neighborhood school concept, which is fantastic for our community. And hopefully with Montclair, with all that development out there by the mall, they're going to be bringing some young families to help mitigate the projection of declining enrollment. But I'll just make just one comment because I think it's a fascinating point that both Vanessa and Phil presented tonight. You started with Trustee Martinez's notion on slide 20, the fluctuation of the COLA. If you could go to, you can go to 20 real quick. I was going to have you go back to number 7 after that. But you can kind of see the where we started, you know, way back in 2022, 2 years ago, with the assumption of what COLA would be for the, you know, upcoming school year, it'd be at 372. It sits today, you know, at 246. So if we can go to slide 7, and mind you, I think that the point that I'm trying to make is I think when people go through budget presentations, we do first interim, second interim, and then we adopt the budget in June, you know, budgets are numbers, and they're not numbers. Budgets are assumptions. And if you can look back here, back in 2021, we thought we were going to be in this current year, having a COLA of 3.54. Which is, you know, on a statistical average, not a bad app. You know, we're in the middle of COVID in 2021. We're, you know, we didn't know we were going through 3 pandemic cycles, but on the horizon, we're like, gosh, you know, if we can just make it to 24, 25, we'll have a 3.54 COLA. And that actually got more optimistic, got up to 4.0, right? 4.02, and then stabilized a little bit down to below, and then boom, you know, and then, you know, this year we got as low as 0.76. And so, and I say this all the time, the California school budget adoption process is very schizophrenic. It's driven by month-to-month revenues, debts, liabilities, what's the projection, what's actual tax receipts are coming in, and that's why these numbers fluctuate. Budgets are assumptions, and so when you are crystal balling, like Phil's wonderful picture, right, you do have to do your best guesstimate, and so we do rely on the Department of Finance, the LAO, school services, because it is a very, you know, unpredictable, you know, future. But certainly knowing that we are looking at possibly another low COLA year, we have to be very strategic with how we address a structural deficit, how we address our spending, how we address declining enrollment, and still find ways to preserve programs and services. So kudos to everybody that keeps that mantra going for us. So thank you. Great presentation, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Okay, moving on to Section H, public comments by attendees. This is inclusive of OMTA, CSEA, parent groups, individual staff, students, families, business partners, public agencies, nonprofit groups, and other members of the public. And our first speaker tonight is Tracy Taylor.
We are here to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and hope that you have a wonderful break as much as you get a break. We get 2 weeks. I don't know about everybody else. And just to remind everyone that as we talk about budget and what's coming in the future, that we request that you keep the breaks, the cuts, as far away from the classroom as possible, which means that teachers, intervention teachers, coaches, classroom aides, those are all people who help kids in the classroom, and as much as we can, we want to keep those people helping kids and find other ways to make cuts. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Did you guys dress like twins on purpose? Do not lie. Do not lie. Thank you, ladies. Our next speaker is Richard Galvez.
Hi, good evening.
It's
actually a very special day for me. My daughter, Sarah, is serving, this is her third time sit in the board, which is makes me very proud. And of course, I'd like to welcome Flora to another cycle. First and foremost, I want to continue to support the great work that this board has done, along with the family, OMSD family, in making this district one of the finest in the state. It has excelled statewide under the leadership of this board, and of course under the leadership of Dr. Hammett, James Hammett, our superintendent, and the support staff, Phil Hillman, one of our crystal ball genius, and Robert, great work, and Dr. Hunter and Dr. Macias, that has shown great leadership in this. We also have to. I have to, and I've been here involved in Ontario Montclair School District since probably 1995 when I ran the first time here, and we like to always provide our the foundation of our district, and that is our teachers, that are the ones that are important, a major factor in making this district as excel as it has. Of course, we have to continue with those goals that we have, and this great presentation shows us where we're going. Our classifieds, of course, are essential in keeping us going every single day of the week. I think the presentations, it's all fine and dandy, but we do have to acknowledge that we have a great challenge coming up, and that is a declining enrollment. And I think that those items are, that's one of the biggest items that is going to be challenging for everyone. There's items that are not going to, cannot be changed, and those are the retirements. Package the retirements for our employees and their health benefits that are going to continue with us. So it's going to be challenging for Phil and for our staff to continue juggling the budget itself, so we can have some of our finest educators here in this district and continue to keep them here. And I think it's up to all of us to try to woo back any students that have left us to enrolled in parochials or private schools, or and hopefully we don't have any charter schools coming into this district, which certainly will impact everyone, especially everyone in this room. So I want to congratulate everyone, and now. I think you guys are doing a great job, and let's face the challenge together, teachers, classified, and administrators, the issue of declining enrollment, and with declining enrollment, it's declining dollars for our district that'll impact all of us. Thank you very much, and congratulations, Flora and Sarah. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Richard.
Under the leadership of course, Elvia Rivas.
Thank you, Richard. Are there any more yellow slips, Ms. Irma? Thank you. Moving on, turning the page. Section I, consent calendar. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Need a second.
I second.
Is there a third? No, we don't need a third. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Flip it over. J, not you, J, discussion action, public hearing. J1, calendar of the dates for the regular meetings of the Ontario Montclair School District Board of Trustees for the 2025 calendar year. Seeking a motion?
I move.
Second?
I second.
You got it, Ms. Irma?
Yes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. J2, under Business Services, 2024-2025 First Interim Financial Report with a positive certification approval.
I move.
Okay, who's second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's melodic. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Good job, Phil, Vanessa. Business Services, J3, letter of intent for exchange of the district's vacant land at 6th Street and Amador Avenue and the City of Ontario City Hall Annex Building. Seeking a motion?
I move.
I move.
Ooh.
Crazy. I move.
Second? Who seconds?
I. Okay. Did you get mine or?
All in favor?
Second.
You got that settled? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? Beautiful. Moving on to J4, Superintendent's Office, first reading, waive second reading, and adoption of Resolution 2024-25-60, adopting a conflict of interest code. All in favor, oh, and wait, I need a motion.
I move.
There a second?
I second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to K, call out of closed session actions. Dr. Hector Macias, what say you?
Thank you, Madam President. I have two items to call out this evening. In closed session today regarding case number CIVSB 2203571, the board voted to approve a settlement agreement and general release, the terms of which provide for consideration and a release of all claims. The vote was 5-0 with all five members participating in the vote. Item number two. On a motion by Trustee Galvez and a second by Trustee Brake and a vote of 5-0, the Board of Trustees voted to appoint employee case number A-2024-25-001 as Director 1 of Information Services effective January 1 of 2025.
All right, thank you, sir. Moving on to Section L. Comments and recommendations by Board of Trustees. We're going to start with Sarah Galvez.
First of all, happy holidays to everyone that's here. So I want to thank my community and everyone for still staying with me and believing in this third term with me. So when I'm up here, I say collaboration and communication is what is the center of our district, because we communicate with each other and our departments, and then we collaborate with our community, with our parents, and with our teachers and our classified employees and everything. But I have also heard two other terms that have come up, which are loyalty and kindness. Loyalty is when you build trust and people trust coming to you and they trust being with you and everything. And the kindness of seeing that we have the compassion and we have this great energy for our students. So 8 years ago when I first came into being in this position, I had a lot of feelings, and because I went through this district, and I went through this district as a special ed student, and I went through this district as a special ed student in the 90s, a special ed student in the 90s that my mother had to be my advocate and my dad and for me and my brother. I am here because of my mother and my dad, and because they went to the school site and they fought for my IEP and they fought for me to have a speech therapist and they fought for me to get reading intervention and all of those things. And they have been by my side as I have struggled with school, with my social emotional learning. And I just want to say that I wish that the person that I was in the 90s could go through this district now, because who knows where I would be and where my brother would be. And when I came onto this district 8 years ago, we were getting out of West End and we were becoming our own single SALPA, and we had to get permission from the state to do that. And that really relieved a lot of my feelings in the beginning, because I was like, we're taking care of this ourselves. We're taking care of our kids ourselves. We're building trust. We're building loyalty. We're building kindness. And we want our kids to have this. And it's just been amazing to see us grow. And the last few years, not only have we grown our special ed, but also being able to feed our kids. Because my dad can tell you that that we had, when at Berlin, where I went to It wasn't like that. And my mom always fed everybody. And my dad always would bring extra stuff. And he would always take out my friends and me and my brother's friends. And it wouldn't be anything like that. But now I know that our kids are fed, 70,000 of them in the last 4 years. And that has been amazing. And are doing it with spring break and everything. And these are things that we do because of our teachers and our classified and our admin and everyone up here who just goes above and beyond, who takes on additional things out of kindness and trust. They build cross-country runs and reindeer runs. They do all of our stuff between the bells. Our principals are there opening up the gates, happy to see everybody, our classified employees, our teachers. We have a thing for everything. And that is because we have built collaboration, communication, but also loyalty and kindness. So thank you, everybody up here, and thank you, everybody out there. And thank you to my dad. My mom had a, she's all like, I gotta go. She was cold. And then, but my dad's still here. And he has, the reason that he said that he ran in 1995 was because he saw what his kids were going through. And he saw, and he wanted, he didn't know how he was going to make a difference, but he said, I'm going to try to make a difference for my son and my daughter. And being able to sit up here and taking on his legacy for that has just been amazing. So thank you, Dad. And thank you, all of you.
We love you, Sarah. Ms. Chris Brake, you go.
Sarah, you are doing just fine, and we're lucky to have you. And don't forget, I was your librarian at Vina. I'm sure I played a part in something.
This high-functioning, emotionally couldn't handle crowds person was very happy to be with you and did not mind your brashness because I knew where I stood with you. I was so secure, and thank you so much for that.
You're welcome to join a library anytime that I'm there. Thank you, Sarah. Our reindeer run was wonderful. Thanks to everybody that participated. I think we raised how much?
Well, I think just between the raffle and the donations from various entities, close to $16,000.
$16,000
for the
kids.
But I think we'll get maybe closer to $80,000 from the proceeds after they tabulate all the fees for the entries that took place. About close to 3,000 runners participated.
Yeah. Dr. Hammond was one of them, and he finished. And so was Bob. Did you run? Yes, you did.
In his cat outfit.
And Phil, you ran too? Mm-hmm. Okay, then. We ran to the burrito booth. Hector? No, you didn't. Okay. Some of us did. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thank you for all that you do. Relax during your break, take naps, read, whatever you want to do. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you, Chris. Ms. Flora Martinez, trustee.
Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. Sarah, your story moved me a great deal. So thank you for sharing. I don't think I'll ever top your story, so I just want to congratulate you. And thank everyone who supported me, even though I didn't have anyone run against me. I was approached and said, you know, we're with you. So thank you so much. To my family that came from San Diego, you know, thank you, my husband, and Mayor Pro Temp. It's just a great honor to be sworn in by you. So, and I do look forward to our continued collaboration and then in the future, you know. So, anyway, Happy New Year, and I mean, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It was out of order. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Ms. Trustee Sonia.
Good afternoon, everybody. Congratulations, Ms. Flora Martinez and Sarah Galvez, on your
appointment or come back. You know, we are, as Sarah, you know, is, I'm also a former OMSD student, and we've seen what this district has gone through, and right now I feel that at this point, when I went to school, it was great. I loved my school, De Anza, and there was a lot of people that gave me their support, a lot of, you know, classified staff, teachers, employees, and they had a great heart. Some of them are not there anymore, but it has just gotten better because it did need some shaking up, which happened. But as a parent, you know, walking into OMSD, I saw the changes. Nothing happens overnight, but everything has happened slowly. And today I feel that, you know, with everything that we're doing for our community, for our teachers, for our staff, everybody, it takes teamwork, everybody working together. So, you know, our cabinet, you know, you guys are awesome. I know that you guys have our children's, best interest, and all the decisions that you make are based on their interest. And, you know, as a parent, it's hard sometimes to just get some programs for our kids, but I know that I appreciate that you sit with parents and talk to them and give them their options and explain everything that, you know, that needs to take place in order for our children to get services. So thank you. I know Dr. Hughes Hunter had sat with me and, you know, talked to me about some programs for my son, and I know that you do it for every single parent in our district. So thank you. After talking to a couple of our board members, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate you girls. You guys are amazing. I know that, you know, part of being a team is what is bringing OMSD to be recognized. I know that we went to CSBA and we got a Golden Bell Award for our ELOP program. So thank you. That wouldn't have happened without everybody involved, our teachers, our employees, everybody. So staff, our janitors, transportation, everybody involved. And it's just one award that I know if we would have applied for other categories, we would have gotten as well. So OMSD is, once again, we're highly, 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 highly admired and regarded, you know, with all our programs that we do. I know I took a couple of the workshops that I took. It's stuff that I just kept saying to myself, we already do that. We already do that. And we do that. So we could teach some of those workshops as well. But it's you know, surprising that there's still a lot of questions from other districts that are not doing a lot of the stuff that we're doing. And it's a disservice to their community and to their students. And there is a lot of layoffs going on around our school district in California, and it's just heartbreaking to, you know, to see that in the news that there's budget cuts and notices given out to teachers. And, you know, we do our best not to do that at OMSD. We want to make sure we take care of our students and, like Tracy said, keep the budget cuts away from the classroom. So you guys enjoy. I know we touched a little bit about the reindeer run. My family went out there, even my Yorkie poodle. My son ran with her in our jogger, but my parents had a fun time as well. So I know we're going to be out there. Make sure you guys enjoy your holidays with your family, relax, and, you know, make it about Christmas and believing in Christmas. Be kind to each other, and have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Sonia. I'm all over the place. I have, like, writing all over my page here, and it's in all different directions. Thing is, I need the glasses to see the writing, but I need my glasses off to see your beautiful faces, so it's all mixed up. I'm just going to say what I want to say from the heart. I'm very honored and humbled to serve with the people up here at this dais. These people make me a better person just by being around them. They really do. And most of the time, they make me feel like I'm standing still with everything that they do for the people and the kids in this school district, not to mention what they do in their personal lives for everyone that they love and hold dear. You are truly amazing individuals, and I am proud to know you and to love you as friends and family. And I am equally honored to have my OMSD family. Anywhere I go, I am constantly talking about OMSD and what an amazing and fabulous school district this truly is. The young man that grew up across the street from us, he likes to be called Charles Henry Hall, but I will always call him Chucky. He's always going to be Chucky. He's 3 years my minor and the same age as my sister Carla, and he's always going to be in love with her. Anyway, he ran for a Paris school board this year, and he won. And he said, you know, his big sister ran, and so he wanted to run too, and so he wanted to make a difference. And so we met up at CSBA, so all the girls met him, and he was hearing about all the stuff that OMSD does, and so he introduced me to the rest of his board. And so they want to come visit. So you guys throw out the red carpet and welcome Paris School District. I think it's a high school district, but they heard about the amazing things that we do here, and they want that for their kids there. And, you know, it was 15 minutes. What I could say in 15 minutes about this school district, talk about an elevator speech. This thing, I mean, it was, I could go on and on. This is my work of passion. And I am thrilled to do it and honored to do it. So I want to thank you for allowing me to do this work. Thank you. And thank you for your confidence in me tonight and your trust. Thank you. I don't take it for granted. I never have. So thank you in allowing me to serve as your president. I want to thank.
She makes a wonderful apple pie, let me tell you.
I did. I made Chris an apple pie for her birthday.
Which is the only reason I voted for.
So hit her up in the parking lot.
Which she's not sharing, by the way. She's not sharing.
I was up last night till 1 a.m. baking apple pies for my people here. I want to thank Ontario PD for being here with us tonight and our campus safety. It was Irma who volunteered you. Sorry, Irma. Yep, I had to tell. The reindeer run, it was mind-blowing. I want to thank the employees of Ontario Montclair School District that chip in every month out of their check to the scholarship fund. Yes. And I think that goes overlooked a lot of the time. But there are people in this district that every check, they put money into the scholarship fund. It's not the raffle ticket. It's not, you know, the runner fees. It's every check they put money into this fund, and they have been doing it for years, for the 12 years or whatever that we've been doing this. And I think that is underappreciated. It needs to be said. It needs to go on the record, and we thank you for that. Let's give them a round of applause. You're putting kids through school and making a difference, and that is an amazing thing. Not only changing their lives here, but onward. I want to wish everyone a very safe and wonderful holiday season, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is that you celebrate, celebrate it well, make it worthwhile, have a loving and safe and just you know, make it worthwhile. Don't be petty. Don't fight with your sisters. I won't, I promise. You know, just forget the small stuff and just love one another, respect one another, and have a good time, okay? And Dr. Hammond, you're up.
Thank you, Madam President. I think all these words were just profound. It's a tough act to follow. I think it's all very well stated by our trustees. I do want to just make an additional comment related to the Reindeer Run. What a great community collaboration to see our classified staff, our certificated staff, distinguished, you know, law enforcement partners, firefighters. It's really just a great coming together in our community to see so many people, you know, coming for a common cause to benefit our school district. So that's just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, talking about exemplary leadership, we talked about our business division. We really do have a district of great leadership, and it starts with our teachers, it starts with our classified staff. Our very new inaugural magazine came out, OMSD Discover. I want to give a big thanks to our communications team, Alondra Sandoval, for putting that together under Irma's leadership. It's a great digital magazine that I think its readership is just going to expand and increase. I got notified today by the Association of California School Administrators, ACSA, which, you know, a lot of administrators are a part of. I think, Dr. Hughes-Hunter, you have a pretty high-level role as a board member in ACSA. But ACSA notified me that as newly hired executive assistants that work in superintendent's offices need to be trained. It's a very hard, complex job to be an executive assistant to a superintendent. Not only do you have to babysit the superintendent, you have to know everything from the Brown Act, the laws, the policies, and keep everything in line. And so they chose Irma Sanchez to be the lead facilitator for future hires that go through that training. So she will be the lead in the state organization. So hopefully AXA doesn't steal her away, but she is obviously the gold standard when it comes to executive assistance, and that's why they chose her, and very deservingly so. So I just want to close because I kind of see, I don't think my eyes are very good, but in the back of the audience there is someone that I recognize who flew down all the way from Washington. My mom, 28 years at Ada Nelson in the Los Nietos School District, best teacher, hands down, that I ever observed. Hi, Mom. How are you? So, I keep telling folks here, Tracy, I want you to know, my dad, rest in peace, was a CTA site rep at Los Nietos Middle School for years, proudly so. And so, my mom and him were very proud union members. And during the 70s and 80s and early 90s in the Los Nietos School District. So, welcome, Mom. I think it's your first board meeting, so hopefully you survive it. So, that's it. I just closed my comments. Thanks very much.
If you have a chance, check out that magazine, Alondra, and our guys, Adon, Andrew, Ryan. They did a great job on it, Miss Irma. It's an amazing body of work. Good job, guys. Okay, section N, information announcements. Whew, here we go. M1, the 2023-2024 Williams Settlement Annual Report Information Item. M2, 2024-2025 Williams First Quarter Uniform Complaint Report Summary Information Item is available. M3, 2024-2025, God, this Williams is a pain. First Quarter Findings Report is available. M4, schools will be closed from December 20, 2024 to January 3rd of 2025 for winter recess. Students resume instruction on Monday, January 6, 2025. M5, all district offices will be closed from December 24th of 2024 to December 26th of 2024 and December 31st of 2024 through January 1st of 2025 for winter holidays. All district offices will reopen on Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. M6, future agenda items. Any request for board consideration must be submitted in writing to meet the criteria as indicated in Board Bylaw 9322. M7, our next regular board meeting, pending board calendar approval, which has already happened, will be January 23rd, 2025 at 6 p.m., open session. Is the location going to change or is it going to be here? It'll be right here, same bat time, same bat channel, right here at Central Language Academy. Section O, adjournment. Seeking a motion. I move. Need a second.
I second.
Everyone at the dais and everybody in the room, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Merry Christmas. Have a good time. Good night.